From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Peña with a local and statewide news update. In an effort to keep Alaskans in their homes during the COVID-19 pandemic, the State Housing Authority is offering assistance with mortgage and rent payments. KOTZ's Wesley Early has more.
The program is run through the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. Stacey Barnes is a spokeswoman for the agency.
One of the things that we have been hearing consistently for the last few months is that people are concerned about paying for their rent or paying for their mortgage, and if they're unable to do that, that they would be evicted or they would be foreclosed upon.
The funding for the program comes from $10 million of the $1.5 billion the state received in Federal CARES Act funding. Those who qualify for the program are families who have lost income due to the pandemic and are now at less than 80% of their area median income. Barnes explained what that could look like in Kotzebue.
The area median income in Kotzebue is $62,000. So to be eligible for this program, you would need to be making in your household no more than $49,600 post-COVID.
The amount is a little higher in Alaska's larger communities. In Anchorage, the household income threshold is just over $78,000. In Fairbanks, it's roughly $74,500, while in Juneau, it's just over $94,000. Those who apply for the program will be put in a lottery system to receive a one-time $1,200 payment that could go towards paying for rent or a mortgage. Barnes says a lot of CARES Act funding across the country is distributed on a first-come, first-served basis. And she says using a lottery system allows rural communities a better chance at getting assistance.
By allowing everyone to participate over that two-week window and lottering the names at the end, everyone in Alaska who's experienced hardship has an equal opportunity to receive the funds.
Barnes says the state anticipates serving between 8,000 and 12,000 households with the $10 million. The application window for the program opens Monday, June 15th, and closes Friday, June 26th at 11:59 p.m. The AHFC plans on distributing the money in July. Reporting in Kotzebue, I'm Wesley Early.
Continuing protest has rekindled a national conversation about racism and excessive force by law enforcement, especially on racial minorities. In Alaska, that's resonated with Alaska Native families that have lost loved ones at the hands of police. Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports. And just a warning, this story contains disturbing audio of fatal encounters with law enforcement.
Across Alaska, a growing outcry for police reform has galvanized many Alaska Natives. A rally in Ketchikan this month attracted hundreds of demonstrators, some carrying signs highlighting the fact that Native Americans are among racial groups most likely to be killed by police. Cody Ayer was shot to death 2.5 years ago by police in Fairbanks. He was 20 years old. His sister, Samantha Ayer Harrison, says even people she was close to didn't really know what to say.
There were a lot of people that felt really uncomfortable with the subject of officer-related deaths and, you know, police brutality.
Then the sights and sounds of George Floyd's life slipping away at the hands of Minneapolis police shocked the nation's conscience.
And suddenly overnight it became okay to talk about things that maybe before it wasn't okay to talk about, like police brutality and talking about racism, topics that were tough to discuss.
Alaska's relatively small population makes it difficult to meaningfully compare the rate of police killings with other states or prove racial bias. That's because a small sample size can be skewed by just a few cases. The Washington Post built a database tracking fatal police encounters since 2015. In Alaska, 39 people have been killed by police. Of those, at least 9 were Alaska Native. But on the surface, while Alaska Natives only make up about 15% of the population, they're close to a quarter of all police killings in the state. Cody Ayer's killing remains controversial. He was carrying a loaded gun when he was shot, but relatives say he never threatened to harm anyone but himself.
Put the gun down, Cody!
Fairbanks police released an edited 11-minute video compiled from body cam and dash cam footage before 5 officers fired 40 shots in 2 volleys.
That video you were seeing of Cody Ayer down there, it was edited, Mayor, before you even seen it. It was edited.
That's the late social justice activist Frank Turney berating Fairbanks City Council for not investing more in non-lethal weapons for its police department. To date, the family says authorities still haven't released the full video footage taken by police.
There's a lot more to that story, but shoot a man 40 bullets in him? 40 bullets?
State prosecutors cleared the three state troopers and two Fairbanks police officers that fired their weapons. A family member of another suicidal Alaska Native killed by police in Fairbanks addressed the city council that same evening.
My husband had a gun to his head. Why would they shoot a person who was contemplating suicide?
That man was Kevin McNulty. His death came 15 months after Cody Ayers. The two cases have parallels. Both were Alaska Native men in their 20s. Both were armed and intoxicated and threatening to kill themselves in a public place. A bystander shot footage of the March 31st, 2019 standoff in the McDonald's parking lot.
There's a guy with a gun to his head right there in the green car to the far to the left. Cars are sitting here with their guns drawn out, and they keep on telling him to put the gun down, take it away from his head, and he's screaming no.
His wife, Lisa McNulty, shared the video of his final minutes on social media in late May.
He pointed at his head, he shot up in the air once, and he got shot 13 times.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
She says the outcry over police violence in recent weeks has sparked renewed interest and sympathy for her family. The video has thousands of views. Kevin McNulty left behind two young children, and she prefers to think of happier times when they were together, like this moment in 2015 when he sings along to a pop song on the radio. But she said he also struggled with drugs and alcohol. He was in treatment for more than a year, but he kept drinking, and the relationship frayed.
He asked me for a ride, like an hour before, and I was like, no, I can't do it, I'm sorry, because I was tired of his drinking.
An official report says that during the standoff with officers, he goaded police to kill him. But he also asked them to call a Fairbanks police officer he knew by name, and his wife. He gave officers a phone number to call. The report says the officer he wanted to talk to wasn't on duty at the time. His wife says she didn't get a call until after he was dead.
They should have tried harder.
Until this month, Lisa McNulty hadn't seen the state's report clearing the officers, and she's been asking for it. Records requests with University Police, Alaska State Troopers, and Fairbanks Police seeking body cam and dash cam footage and police reports were filed by her attorney months ago. I asked the Department of Law whether the use of deadly force was justified. Little more than an hour later, a 9-page report clearing the officers appeared in my inbox. It says Kevin McNulty's erratic statements, coupled with a loaded gun and close proximity of fast food diners, meant police were justified in shooting him when they did. His family didn't know about that report, even though it came out more than 7 weeks ago. The state says that was an oversight and has since shared its findings with Lisa McNulty.
Well, if that is truly what happened, and then I have no reason to believe it didn't, you know, then it was a failure on the trooper's part.
That's Walt Monaghan. He's a former Anchorage police chief and 2-time commissioner for the Department of Public Safety, which oversees Alaska State Troopers. From patrolman to chief, he's been involved with mental health crises and their aftermath.
You try to isolate and get the individual to calm down, and sometimes it does work. We've done it. I've seen it done in my career.
He says even if a police officer's use of deadly force is justified,
it doesn't replace the tragedy that had taken place. I mean, individuals who are shot or otherwise killed, that you know, they have loved ones, they have friends, they have family that all want answers. And I can't argue with that. I would want them if I were in the situation too.
Measuring something as subjective as racism is difficult. But when it comes to police encounters, researchers have shown consistently that Native Americans, including Alaska Natives, are more likely to be killed by officers than their white peers. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
Today, the state reported that 17 more Alaskans tested positive for the coronavirus, along with 7 non-residents. The combined number of resident and non-resident cases of 24 was the third highest daily total reported during the pandemic. There are 202 active COVID-19 cases, the highest number in the state since the virus arrived in Alaska. 4 of the Alaskans with positive test results live in Anchorage, 3 in Fairbanks, 3 in the Kenai Peninsula Borough, 2 in Juneau, 2 in Sitka, 1 in Matanuska-Susitna Borough, and 1 in Kodiak, and 1 in the Northwest Arctic Borough. This is KTOO News.